you, Miss Anna. All right, we have a special treat tonight. If Pastor Caldwell, you make your way up here tonight, I do think it is Brother Cole Stanek's last service with us, is it not? Is it his last service with us? Let's stand up, my brother, if you would. Let everybody get a good look at you. He's going to head off to the army, I believe. Amen. And so you go by and make sure that you tell him that you'll be praying for him. Amen. Appreciate him. Amen. Amen. And you pray for him as well as the other men that we have already serving that are in the, they're all over the world right now. Some of our young men that grew up in our church, and be praying for him and tell him so. He needs that. Amen. As he heads out. Looking forward to it. How many of you brought your Bible with you tonight? It encourages the preacher to see you get Bibles. Amen. All right. Well, he's going to come and preach to us. He's no stranger to us. He pastors in Martinsburg, West Virginia, Faith Baptist Church there, and he came to drop his daughter off. He's going to entrust us at the college with her. Amen. And so we're blessed to have her join in the college, but also to have him preach tonight. You come preach to us, preacher.
Thank you, preacher. Appreciate it very much. Well, it is an honor to be back with you guys again, and this is a wonderful place to be. I sure am appreciative of a place like this that I can trust to bring my children to. And that's a tremendous blessing. We not only have my daughter coming, but two others from our church are coming for college this year. And so we're excited about that. And I just want to say this to Landmark Baptist Church. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for standing right on the Word of God and not changing, where we can have a place to send our young people that aren't going to come back all confused about what the Bible really says. And so I sure appreciate that. It was good to see Landmark up there at camp this summer. I got to see them at Mount Salem Revival Grounds and got to see them all week run Brother Vercellus around all over the place. And so that was a blessing. And I don't know how many steps there were, but I think after the second time, he was done on those. We don't have hills in West Virginia. We have mountains, okay? And so I forget how many, but it's like 137 steps from the bottom to the guy's dorm. And I offered to give him a ride up when he first came. He said, "No, brother, I got this." And he went up and back down, and after that, I think he was much obliged for rides if he was wanting to, so we sure appreciate that very much. Though it's a blessing to be back with you. I do appreciate the message. How many of you are happy to be saved tonight?
Amen.
Amen. If you're not, you were sleeping this morning in the message, and we ought to rejoice over our salvation. The greatest thing we could ever have is knowing for sure that we're saved and on our way to heaven. And what a tremendous blessing it is to know that, not by anything we have done, but according to the Word of God and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross and through the grave. Aren't you glad he's not dead anymore?
Amen.
I'm glad for that. I'm glad he's alive and well. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a statue God. We serve a God that's alive and well tonight. And he breathed upon his word, and we're going to get into that tonight, so praise the Lord for it. Genesis, if you would, please take your Bible to the book of Genesis. If you don't know where that is, you're in trouble. Okay? The very first book of the Bible, Genesis, okay? That's for the college students. And so we'll just, Brother Caleb, that's in the beginning, all right? So make sure that you know that. The beginning's the very front, all right? So you take that there. Genesis chapter number 32. I know you've stood a couple times tonight, but if you would, out of respect for the Word of God with me tonight, would you stand, please, out of respect here as we get into the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 32. I'm going to read just one verse of scripture, and then we're going to go back a few chapters. Going to kind of set the stage for you tonight and then get into a message that the Lord's laid on my heart. I do want to say, Pastor Parsons, thank you for allowing me to preach here tonight in your pulpit. I know preachers have to guard today who they allow in their pulpits. People that used to stand right, that used to do right, that used to preach right, are no longer doing that. And so I appreciate the fact that you've allowed me to be here tonight, preacher. Thank you so much for that. Genesis chapter number 32, a very familiar passage of scripture. But I want you to look here as Jacob is wrestling. Anybody ever wrestled with God before? You ever wrestled with God? How many of you came out victorious? Don't raise your hand, okay? Because you're not going to win that war. But in Genesis chapter number 32, this is long after he's been away from his family. He's heading back to meet his brother. And now he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And in verse 27, there's something that's very intriguing here. The angel of the Lord, he's asked him to bless him. And he says this in verse 27. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Now you say, what's significant about this passage of scripture? We're going to go back here in just a few moments to Genesis chapter number 27, kind of set the story for you tonight. But the angel of the Lord asked Jacob a question. And he wasn't asking him that because he didn't know the answer to it. He was asking him that because he wanted to give Jacob an opportunity to just get real. To just get real about who he is. And so I'm going to preach this thought to you tonight on let's just get real with God. Let's just get real with God. Quit playing the phony facade game that we've played coming to church and going home, coming to church and going home, and let's just get real with God. America, I read this, Leonard Ravenhill said this, America does not need God. He said the church needs God. Because when the church gets God, America will feel the effects of it. Amen. And so as a church tonight, let's just put away the religious Cornelius-type lifestyle, and let's just get real with God tonight. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the time we have to be here tonight. Lord, I just thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth of it. I pray that you use me as your mouthpiece tonight. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Lord, I desperately need your help tonight. If there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you'll not give them rest. Holy Spirit of God, would just stir in their heart and show them their need of salvation tonight. Lord, what a tremendous message we heard this morning on the joy that we can have because of salvation. And God, I just pray that you'll help them, Lord, to realize that without you, there's nothing. And apart from you, we can be nothing. And God, I ask you, please, just to use your word tonight. Lord, not me, but your word. Lord, we're just mouthpieces. We're just tools, instruments to get your word across. And Lord, I just pray that you do that tonight. Lord, we'll give you all glory and honor and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Back in Genesis chapter number 27, I'm not going to read the whole story. We'll get into it in around verse number 18 in a few minutes. But I am going to tell you the story a little bit. You know Isaac. Isaac was the son of who? Caleb. It was not Moses, okay? It was Abraham, okay? So Isaac is, now he's old. He can't see. He's getting old in years, and he's about to bless his son Esau. And he tells Esau that he wants some venison. I'm a meat lover. I like deer hunting. I like to eat venison. If you don't, that's okay. I'll eat yours, and that's all right. You can have your salad. I'll eat the meat. We're good, okay? But I will say, he said, listen, before I die, I want to bless you, but I want you to go out and cook my meal, and I want you to bring it back, and I'm going to bless you. And you know what happened. Rebecca comes up with this idea with her son Jacob, and she says to Jacob, hey, I'm going to disguise you as your brother, and I want you to go in and get the blessing from your father. And at first, Jacob had some sense. He said, no, I can't do that. He said, he'll figure out it's me, and then I won't have a blessing. I'll have a cursing upon my life. And she talked him into it. She said, listen, I'll take the curse. Let the curse be upon me. Just go do what I said. And you know what happened? They took the ram, the lambs, and they killed them and made the meat. She made the meat. She covered his skin and all this. Why? Because there was a difference between the two, wasn't there? Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was not. And so she made him feel like and smell like Esau. But Isaac still had some knowledge about him and understood that there was something not right here, but he just couldn't figure it out. Now, I want you to look here in verse 18. See, we started off in Genesis chapter 32 because now we're going to talk about what happened here and bring it all back in to make sense here in the end, okay? Genesis 27 and verse 18, it says, and he came unto his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou? You notice the question that he asked? Isaac is now asking Jacob, who are you? And Jacob's response to his father is this, and Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast badest me. Arise, I pray thee, and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou wilt be found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. You see, there's just a bunch of lies here, isn't there? Bunch of lies going on. Verse 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Now, why wasn't he just believing him? Well, there was something just not right. God was giving him a little bit of discernment here that something is not quite right here. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, and the hands are of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. And so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Now something very tragic is taking place right here. Here you have Jacob who's deceiving his father, not just one time, not just two times, but three times. He says, "Who art thou, my son?" He said, "I'm Esau." There's one. Then he said, "How'd you find the venison so quickly?" He said, "Well, the Lord brought it to me." That's lie number two. And then he says to him again, he says, "Art thou my very son Esau?" Still some question in his mind. And he says, "I am." And you know what happens is he gets the blessing, and as he leaves, here comes Esau back from the hunt. And Esau comes back in, and he's all excited that he killed the animal, and he's bringing the venison now to his father, and he's saying unto his father, "Hey, give me the blessing." And Jacob says, "I can't," or Isaac says, "I can't. I already did. I already blessed somebody." And he begins to plead with him. And look at verse number 35 and 36. And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and he had taken away thy blessing. And he said," this is Esau to Isaac, saying, "Is not he rightly named Jacob?" Now Jacob is deceiving himself. He's deceiving his father. He's deceiving those around him on who he really was. And then when we get over to chapter 32, this is 20 years later after he's been on the run away from his brother because he was afraid his brother was going to kill him. Now he met not only his one wife that he worked for 7 years and was given a different wife. And then he had to work another 7 years and he was given the wife that he originally wanted. And not only was he deceived by his father-in-law, then he, you know, just a life of deception, a life of lies. And it all begins because somebody just wouldn't admit who they really are. And he was on the run for 20 years, and now he's coming back and he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And you know what happens is he asks for a blessing. He asks for something. "Give me some hope. Give me some hope. Esau's not going to kill me. Bless me." And there's a question. You know, Jesus, God's very good at asking us questions so we can answer the question for ourselves. You heard a preacher talk about that in Sunday school if you were up there. Ask some questions, and we usually know the right answer after we start answering it. But like when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, remember he's walking through and he says, "Adam, where art thou, Adam?" You think God didn't know where Adam was? The question wasn't for God. The question was for the one he was asking the question to. And so now here we are in Genesis chapter 32, and he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord, and he says this to him, "What is thy name?" He said, "You're asking me to bless you, but I cannot bless you unless you'll get real. Unless you'll just admit who you really are." And here's what his response is. After all the life of lies, after all the deception, after everything, he's in a low spot now. He realizes, "I've lost this battle." And he said, "Jacob." Jacob. Finally, after all of this time, Jacob admits, "I'm the supplanter. I'm the liar. I'm the deceiver. I'm the one who stole my brother's birthright and blessing. That's who I really am." And in the next verse, you see the wonderful grace of our God. And look what he says. "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." You know why the grace of God came upon Jacob's life? You say he was a liar, a deceiver. Why did he do this? Well, I'll tell you why. He just got real with God. And God's gracious and God's merciful. And God said, "Finally, now you figured out how to get the blessings of God." Is you've got to realize who you really are. And so with that in mind, I want to speak on this subject tonight on let's get real with God. And the first thing I want you to understand in your life is you've got to get real with God about your condition. There may be some of you in here tonight that are lost. And you're on your way to hell. You say, "Preacher, I've been in church my whole life. I've gone to Landmark Baptist Church ever since Dr. Carter's been here. I've been here for X amount of years, and I've gone to church, and I've heard the gospel, and I've maybe even walked an aisle and prayed a prayer before, but I've never truly in my heart believed on the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, I believe there's a lot of people that are going to go to hell who said some words at an altar one day that never backed it up with belief. See, the Bible says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You have to know who you really are, and before you can get saved, you have to realize that you're lost. You have to realize what the Bible says in Romans 3:10, that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I do not care how much money you've given in the offering plate, how many people you have brought to church, how many times you've opened your Bible and memorized scripture verses. If you have never come to the place where you realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior, you're not saved. You have to come to the place where you realize that. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. Because we're sinners, we are not worthy to enter heaven's gate. And the Bible says that because of that in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. You heard a wonderful message this morning begging you, pleading with you to come to Jesus. Why? Because we do not know if tomorrow's coming. You may not know when you're going to die. Nobody here does. If I were to ask you, hey, when are you going to die? Well, about tomorrow at 3:30. Nobody knows that. Right. This might be the last opportunity that you have. And the Holy Spirit's been knocking on your heart's door time after time after time after time again. And you keep lying about who you really are. Well, I'm a good person. I talked to a man just last week and we were out soul winning. And I asked him, I said, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? And he said, well, I hope I would. He said, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't murder, I don't do those things. I'm a pretty good man. And I said, you know what? In the world's eyes, you are a good person. But in the eyes of a holy, just God, you're a sinner just like everybody else. And we have to come to that knowledge. We have to realize the fact that we're a sinner. And until you admit that, guess what? You're not ready to be saved. You say, why? Because you have to admit it. You have to admit who you really are. You have to get real with God. Listen, God knows you're a sinner. He said you're a sinner. All of us are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means me. That means you. That means Dr. Carter. That means Pastor Parsons. That means all of us that have ever been born physically on this earth other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself are guilty of hellfire. The wages of sin is death. That's not just physical, that's spiritual. Read the book of Revelation and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the Bible says. That's what sin earns. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve. And that's what the Bible teaches us. This is not something that Baptists came up with just to scare people. The holy God of heaven who spoke everything into existence from in the beginning created man in his image, but man had to disobey God. And by one man's sin, the Bible says, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, I know there's a confusion out there today of the words in the Bible, and they say they're hard to understand. And so let me ask you this question. What does all mean? It's difficult, isn't it? All means all. Preacher up in Michigan, I was his youth pastor, and he said this. He used to say this all the time. All means all, and that's all will ever mean. All of us are guilty. Myself, yourself, all of us are guilty because of sin. But Romans 5:8 is still in the Word of God. But God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The spotless Lamb of God who came to this world to seek and to save that which is lost, who lived sinless upon this earth, died on an old rugged cross, shed his blood for me and for you. And by the way, the blood still matters. Amen. The blood still matters. We don't need to cut out verses out of the Word of God that use the word blood because they're offensive. And if you think that's offensive, tell your kid to quit playing some of them video games he plays. Amen. Listen, the blood is necessary. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no remission of sin. We have to realize the death on the cross, the blood that was being shed, was satisfying the wrath of God for the sins of all humanity. And until you come to the place where you realize the truth of the Word of God and you'll admit to it, and God says, hey, who are you tonight? And you say this, I'm a lost sinner. I'm a lost sinner. You can't say I'm a good church person. I'm a religious man. Listen, Cornelius was missing something, wasn't he? He's religious, but he was lost. And you have to get real with God tonight about your condition in the area of your salvation. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're lost, there is no way of salvation but through Jesus and him alone. Amen. You'll never find any other way of salvation in the Word of God except by Jesus Christ and him alone. John 14, verse 6 is still in the Bible. Jesus said to them, I am the way. Dr. Vercellus, he didn't say I'm one of many ways. He didn't say, by the way, Joel Osteen says there's many ways to God. I question somebody's salvation that believes there's many ways to God, because there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Read John chapter 10, I'm the door. You have to come through the door of the Lord Jesus. Let's just get real with God tonight. Quit putting on this pharisaical spiritual act tonight and just realize the fact that you're a lost sinner, doomed and destined for hell, and without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no way for you to go to heaven. Amen. You have to get real about it tonight. Just like Jacob is wrestling, and I'm sure that you've had a wrestling match with the Holy Spirit over this. You've been in this church any length of time hearing the gospel preached over and over and over and over again. You've had a wrestling match, and all the time we want to say, Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. He says, hey, who are you? Who are you? Let's just get real about it tonight. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Cole, I'm not saved. You know, you do not have to wait for the invitation to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Wouldn't it be something to see somebody just broken over their sin and run down to this old-fashioned altar, and right in the middle of preaching, they just trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? You know what? But there's a lot of people sitting in pews today that would say, it's not time for that yet. You have to wait till the invitation time, Dr. Morgan, for me to get saved. What if the rapture happens before we're done? What if that eastern sky opens up and that trumpet sounds and those that are dead in Christ rise, and then we which are alive and remain are caught up together? They're not going to have time to get saved. Yeah. Listen, if you're not saved today, here's what I'm going to say to you right now. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Let's just get real with God and say this. I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. Amen. You don't have to wait. No. Just like Jacob had to admit who he is, I believe the Lord is saying tonight, let's just get real about this thing. You know what? I've seen preachers trust Jesus as their Savior. People that have opened the Word, you say, how can they preach? Because the Word of God does not return void. We are just messengers. You understand that. It's the Word of God that penetrates and pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The Word of God has power to save through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Some of us need to get real about our condition. We're lost. But some of us that are saved here tonight maybe need to get we're just like Jacob. We're lying. Oh, we're a son. Right. We're a child. But God has so much for you. And he says, hey, as my child, here's what I want. Who are you? And you make up a story. Well, man, I want to be what I want to be. I want to do what I want to do. Right. And you just won't admit who you really are. When the world says, hey, who are you? You don't say, hey, I'm a child of the King. You say, well, I'm a religious person. Listen, has your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen. A couple people were excited about it. Amen. I asked you, is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord, it is. Amen. There's a new name written down in glory, and guess what? You say, it's mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't have to go to hell for 1 second. I'm eternally secure because I'm kept in God's hand. Nothing can remove me from it. Nothing can separate me from it. And that's something we're shouting about. That's something worth glorying over. That's something worth boasting about, is that we're a child of the King, and nobody can do anything about it. But I want you to understand something. There's some of us lying tonight about who we really are. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know what he says? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by what? The mercies of God. You know what he's saying? Remember how merciful God has been to you. Remember the mercy of God. That you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But some of us are lying about who we really are. We're full of self. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 12 and verse 22 that lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. You know what? God hates lying. And you know what? There's people who say, listen, I'm not a murderer, or I'm not a rapist, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. And listen, they'll say homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord, and we'd all shout amen, hallelujah, glory to God. But he also says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. You know, a liar put Jesus on the cross. Think about this. Somebody who just disobeyed God, Brother Correa, and what they ate made everybody a sinner. Why? Let's just get real about it tonight. What's going on in your life that the Holy Spirit's telling you, hey, there's some things in your life you need to get right, and you say, no, not me. Not me. And God's saying, hey, I want to bless you. I want to help you. And you say, Lord, please bless me. How many times we pray that? Lord, please bless us. Please bless us. And he says, hey, who are you? What's your name? And just like Jacob to his father, we lie about it. You know, God didn't ask that question for Jacob, or for himself. He asked it for Jacob because he wanted to bless Jacob. Some of us need to get serious or real about our condition. We're lost. Maybe we're lying. Maybe we're lazy. We don't like to say amen about that one. You know, the Bible tells us that there's going to come a time when no man can work. Read the Gospel of John chapter 9. Time will come when no man can work. You know what? We've become lazy for the Lord, haven't we? No, preacher, not me. I'm busy. You know, if you take the letters of busy, I heard my preacher say this before. If you take the letters of busy, making a cross, that it's buried under Satan's yoke. A lot of times, people are so busy that they're too busy for God. They're lazy for the Lord, but they're busy for their employer. They won't do the work that God's called them to do or told them to do because they're just lazy about it. You have college students have an assignment and they say, well, I'm going to wait till the last moment to get it done. You know why? Because they're lazy about it. We don't want to work. Listen, let's just get real about our condition tonight. Let's just get real about it. You cannot get help until you admit there's a problem. You can't get help until you admit there's a problem. But not only do we need to get real about our condition tonight, we need to get real about our convictions tonight. There was a passage of scripture that's still in the Bible, by the way, in 2 Chronicles 24. Deals with a young man by the name of Joash. The Bible says that Joash, he was just a young man. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. And the Bible says he reigned, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But it says all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. There was a difference because there was another king by the king Josiah. And Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, even as David his father had done, and he declined not to the right hand nor to the left. But there's a Joash that he only did right while the man that saved his life was around. He only did right while his leaders were there. He did not have his own convictions. He had Jehoiada's convictions while Jehoiada was around. But when Jehoiada died, Brother Chamberlain, it says that he turned away. And even his own cousin, who he lived in the same house, Zechariah, comes to him and tells him he's doing wrong. And at the command of the king, they stone him in the court of the house of the Lord. Joash, who did right in the sight of the Lord. You know why? Because he never developed his own convictions about what he believed. He only held on to the ones of Jehoiada. And listen, we need to get real about our convictions tonight. You're never going to get anywhere in your Christian life if you just hang on to your preacher's convictions. If you just hang on to Dr. Carter's convictions. Because I'll tell you what, if the Lord stays his coming, there's coming a day that they're physically not going to be standing here in front of you. Your convictions ought not to be based on what a man says. Your convictions ought to be based on what the Holy Spirit of God teaches you through the Word of God. You know why? Because this is absolute and this is eternal. And convictions are not opinions. Convictions are things that God teaches you through the truth of his word, that nothing can change them because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's always the same. And those convictions need to be sealed in our life. And we need to have convictions that are scriptural. I'm so tired of people making a mockery of the pulpits of God today. They say they have convictions, but they want to dress like a rock star and get up there with, looks like you got britches on, look like you got in a fight with a weed eater. You know what's crazy to me is they'll pay $80 for pants with holes in them. I'm thinking, I got a lot of those in my drawer. I'm going to start selling them on eBay. Pay my daughter's college bill off. Praise the Lord. I got holes in my pants from working. Tell you what, I'll sell them. My wife says, honey, don't mess those up. Like, why not? There's money in this, sweetheart. Praise the Lord, I'll tell you. But you know why? Because they don't have convictions. They make a mock of the truth of God's word. And they say, oh, well, we're going to live the Christian life, but then we're going to live the worldly life. We want the best of both worlds. And the Bible says that a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. We need to just get real about our convictions tonight. Quit playing around and hanging on to your preacher's conviction. Now listen, I understand when you're young, as a babe in Christ, you don't really understand everything and you ought to be growing and learning. So you ought to adopt some of these good things. But then go to the Word of God just like the Bereans and search the Scriptures to see why they do what they do and whether these things are so. and realize the truth of the Word of God, these convictions that they have about dressing holy and modestly and living a godly Christian life are not things that they just conjured up in their mind to keep you in subjection. They're things that God says because you represent God as a child of God. He says this, to let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works. Guess what? It matters, the testimony that you present to other people, doesn't it? It matters. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they can pat you on the back and say, good job, buddy. No, that they can see Jesus in you. Amen. They don't see Jesus in you when you're acting like the world. Yeah. He saved you out of that. Amen. He picked you up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set your feet upon a rock, established your going, put a new song in your heart, made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We ought to get some convictions about us today. Yeah. You ought to get a conviction on the Word of God. A conviction about the Scriptures. And understand something. This King James Bible is not just a version of Scripture. It's the Word of God for us here in English. You say, why? Because that's what we speak. I don't need to have 37 different languages here. I know English, and that's what God gave me. I have a Bible. Praise the Lord for it. I don't need to change it, add to it. Well, it's difficult to understand. No, it's not. You got the author of the book living inside of you. Come on, friends. The Bible says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman thee not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why people can't understand the word? They don't study it. Don't blame the preacher that you're not getting fed from the Scriptures. Nobody today had to have Pastor Parsons come and give you a spoonful of food this afternoon. All good Baptists knew where the chicken house was. All of you know where the buffets are. And we had some good food today, preacher, didn't we? You know what? But the fact is, you didn't have to spoon feed us. Why? Because we enjoy that food. You know why we won't get into this, Dr. Carter? Because it's convicting. It shows us who we are. Every time I read it, Dr. Versalis, the Lord says, who are you? Who are you? And I have to get real and say, Lord, I'm undone. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. I'm nothing without you, Lord. But you know what? I got to get convictions about the Scriptures and realize that this is God's word. You know why it's the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever? Because God has always been and always will be. This is God's word for us. You understand that? God never changes, so why change it? You don't have to change it, right? We ought to get some convictions about the Scriptures. We ought to get some convictions about standards. I know we've talked about it a little bit, but I'll tell you what, some people need to start covering up. Your body was intended for your spouse. Period. Girls, you don't need to be showing off to the guys, and guys, you don't need to be showing off your body to the girls. God made that holy and pure for your husband and your wife. Period. But you know what the world has done? They've made it just normal. Just normal. It doesn't affect us anymore. Why doesn't it affect us anymore? I'll tell you why. We don't have convictions about it. We don't have convictions about it. People say to a preacher, why don't you let your kids go swimming with other people? Like, because first of all, I don't want my son seeing some girl swimming in some bathing suit in a pool that he ain't got no business. I don't need some guy staring at my daughters while they're in a water in a pool. You say, preacher, that's just, you're petty. Can't you control yourself? No, and you can't either. Just get real about it. If you say, listen, if you're a man tonight and you say that you can watch a woman bathe in it or swim in a pool and it does not affect you, there's one of two things that are wrong. Either you're a funny boy or you got a hormone imbalance really bad. I'll tell you what, you say why? Because your eye affects your heart, doesn't it? Your eye affects your heart. That's why it's so important for us to guard our eyes. We need to get some convictions about that thing. Why? Because it will affect your heart. I don't care how strong you think you are in the Lord. You start looking at things you ought not to look at. There's many men of God that are not in the ministry today because they started looking at things they ought not to look at and they had no accountability about it. And I want you to understand something, fellas. You ought not to be alone with somebody from the opposite sex. All it takes is one accusation and your life's ruined. Be careful. Set some boundaries. Some guards. You say, preacher, I don't like this kind of... He was nice this morning. Rejoicing in our salvation, but there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that salvation. We have to get real about our condition, get real about our convictions. But you know what we also need to do is get real about our calling. You know, God has called every believer to several things. One, he's called you to be a soul winner. You understand the reason that Jesus came, right? It was not to change water into wine or to make the blind people see. It was not those things. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He did those miracles to show his power, but he came for a purpose, to save a soul from hell. And we have a commission that we call the Great Commission that God has given to us. And it is the job of every believer, not just the pastor and the church staff. It is every believer's calling of God to be a soul winner, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, well, preacher, that's not for me. Then you're not fulfilling the call of God upon your life. And just get real about it. Don't point the finger. Don't say, God did not make me a good speaker. Moses wasn't either. But by the power of God, Aaron didn't get much speaking. Moses had a speech impediment, a problem. But you know what? God showed him that through God's power and God's strength, anybody who's willing, God can make them usable. You know what we need to do tonight is just get real about the calling that God has given us and say this: I'm going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You realize hell is a real place? It's not something that was just made up. Hollywood has done a great job of desensitizing us to what hell is all about. There's been times, Brother Bradley, I've knocked on somebody's door and he says, man, I'm going to go to hell and party with my friends. If your friends have gone before you, you know what they're saying to you tonight? Don't come to this place. Because they're right beside the rich man, still in torments today, weeping and wailing and begging God just to send somebody with a drip of water to cool their tongue. Why? Because they're tormented in that flame, and it's eternal flame. It's eternal separation from God forever. Amen. You understand that what hell is, and your neighbor might be heading there. Your coworker might be heading there. Your family might be heading there. I don't want to embarrass her tonight, but I praise the Lord for it. My daughter got concerned here recently. She was talking about one of her friends, and she said, you know, I just assume because they go to a good church that they're saved. And so she just asked her, hey, I know this might be a silly question, but I just need to know. You're my friend, and I want to know, are you saved? Amen. Because a lot of times we think the person sitting next to us is saved just because they come to church. Amen. The person right beside, oh, our kids are saved because they grew up in our home. I heard them pray a prayer one day. But let me ask you this. Have they truly understood the truth of the gospel? Yes. Amen. Right. Amen. Do you know for sure that they're on their way to heaven? Hey. How sad would that be to know that your neighbor's going to heaven, but you let your kids die and go to hell? Because you never checked. Amen. What about your spouse? Oh, well, they told me they were. Have you ever checked? Yes. You ever asked them? That's our calling. You understand that God has called us to preach the gospel. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says this, lo, I am with you always. Yeah. Aren't you glad that he's there with us? Amen. He doesn't leave us alone in this calling that he's given to us. We have a calling to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we're supposed to do. To spread the gospel. God's given us that calling. Amen. Some of you college students are here because God's called you to something. Amen. To be a preacher of the gospel. Not just soul winning, but preaching the counsel of God. Yeah. That's a calling of God. And the Bible says his calling is without repentance. Yeah. So guess what? That's not just for the preachers of the word of God. That's for everybody, even in the area of soul winning, that God's calling in your life is without repentance. That means that you never are not to be a soul winner. Amen. You're always to be a soul winner. Amen. And you young men, listen, if God's called you to preach, you know what you need to do? Preach. Amen. Well, they offered me a job over here. Who cares? Preach. Amen. Why? God called you to preach. God didn't call you to go over here and make $1 million. God called you to preach. Amen. If God wants to give you $1 million, he'll do that on his own time. But you need to preach. Amen. Because that's what God's called you to do. Amen. God's called you to the mission field. Guess where you need to be? Yeah. On the mission field, right? Let's just get real about it tonight. Yeah. We have a lot of parents that are discouraging their kids from getting in the ministry because they say there's no money in it. And their kids come back from camp all fired up and excited because God did a work in their heart. They say, hey, God called me to this. And they say, oh, you don't want to do that because there's no money in that. Listen, if God called them to something, first of all, they belong to him, not you. Amen. You say, well, we birthed them. God, does not the Bible say children are a heritage of the Lord? God gave them to you to be a steward of them. Your job is to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And how many times, preachers, have you had somebody say, well, I taught them better than that? God never told you to teach them better than that. He told you to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, what's that mean? There's a difference. Teaching's giving them knowledge. Training them is applying the knowledge. We can tell them all about standards, but you know what we need to do? Have standards. Back up our belief with action. That's training them. We've allowed the world to tell us what is success. Wisdom and knowledge, power, might, riches, and fame. You want to be popular? Man, have 100 Facebook friends. You'll be popular. Some of the friends I never met before, but they friended me. They liked me on this post that I posted, so here I'm a sensation. Help us, Lord. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus. And some of us don't even know him tonight. And some of us that are saved, guess what? You've been saved by the almighty grace of God because you put your faith and trust in him, but you still don't know him. Because you don't walk with him. You've not gotten real about who you are. You're still just going through the motions. You've heard the preacher preach on what we're supposed to do. You've heard all of that stuff, but you're still just lying to yourself and lying to God, and you act like God's okay with it. God's not okay with it. He gave us a command, didn't he? Be holy, for I am holy. Guess what your job is? What you've been called to do? Be holy. Be separated. Different from the world. God's called you to that as a believer in Christ. He's called you to be a soul winner. He's called you to serve him. He's called you to shine like a light in this world. It is our job tonight to quit playing the Pharisaical game and just get real with God tonight. And I believe he's knocking on the door, and we're asking God for a blessing. We're asking God to bless America. We're asking God to do this. We're asking God to do this. And God says, who are you? Who are you? And you know what? If Jacob would have said, oh, I'm Esau, his name wouldn't have been changed. God wouldn't have blessed him. But as soon as he said, I'm Jacob, God says, not anymore. Because over this 20 years, you've been running, you've been lying, you've been cheating, you've been stealing, it's come back on you. All these things have happened, but finally, you're coming to the place where you just say, it's me, O Lord. It's me. And God says, you know what? No more are you Jacob, but Israel. But Israel. And something intriguing in closing. Because he got real with God. Verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I want you to understand the significance about what he's saying here. He's saying, I saw something I've never seen before because I just got real with God. I got to experience something I've never got to experience before because I just admitted who I am. If you're lost tonight, I'm going to ask you this. Just admit who you are. I'm lost and on my way to hell. You can't get saved until you admit you're lost. Just get real with God tonight. Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm undone. I'm a sinner deserving of hell. But God, I want you to bless me. I want you to forgive me. You know what he'll do? Exactly what he said he will. Exactly what he said he will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You want to be saved tonight? You can't go by just being in church tonight. You can only go by giving your heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just get real with him tonight. Lord, I'm lost. Maybe you're his child. Let's just get real. Say, Lord, I've been lying all this time about things I'm doing, about who I am. I just got to get real about it tonight. Maybe, Lord, I'm lazy. Let's got to admit it tonight. What about your convictions? Do you have any? Are they like Joash's convictions? Are they borrowed just because your preacher, just because Pastor Parsons? Because Dr. Carter's had them for so long, Pastor Parsons has them, well, we just have to do it because they do it. That's not going to last. Base your convictions off this book. Why? Because this will be around a lot longer than we will. Base your convictions off this book. You got to get some convictions. What about your calling? How many of you run away from it? God's called you to something and you just decided there was some greener pasture on the other side. I heard somebody say this. My granddad actually said this one time. He said, the greenest grass is usually over a septic tank. Oh, it looks good. But what's under that soil you want no part of? Lot saw the well-watered plains, didn't he? That wasn't good enough, was it? He ended up in Sodom. You know why? Because he thought the grass was greener over here. Let's just get real about it tonight. If God's called you to something, you've turned away from it, come back to the calling of God and do what God's told you to do. His calling's without repentance. He didn't stop calling you or uncall you from it. Be a preacher of the gospel. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Just get real with him tonight. He asked Jacob, what is thy name? Why? Because Isaac asked him and he lied. But God said, who are you? Already knowing the answer to the question. But now it was up to Jacob to just get real with God. With our heads bowed, eyes closed tonight, I wonder how many people get real with God tonight. It's me. It's me, Lord. I don't know that I'm saved. With nobody looking around tonight, I want to ask this question. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Parsons. Would you just be real? Listen, God already knows the answer to the question. So let me ask you this tonight. Do you know 100% sure that heaven is your home? If you can say, preacher, I know that for sure, would you slip your hand up? Preacher, pray for me. Hey, I know it. I'm saved and I know it. No question about it. I know it. You can put your hands down. Not every hand was raised tonight. I saw a couple that were not. I want to ask the question. Will you just get real with God tonight? Will you say, Pastor Caldwell, pray for me. I am not sure that I'm saved, but I do not want to die and go to hell. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Would you put your hand up high where I can see it, please? If you did not raise your hand, and you be honest, maybe you were sleeping, I don't know, but would you slip your hand up high? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not every hand went up. And listen, tomorrow may not come. Anybody at all, raise their hand. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth of it. I pray that you'll bless the remainder of this invitation, and we'll give you glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
you stand to your feet with us tonight? If you're here and you're not saved, we'll give you an opportunity. You've already been asked to raise your hand, but why don't you do this? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and folks are praying, many of the folks that raised their hand did just that. They stepped out and walked an old-fashioned aisle and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. We'll give you an opportunity to do that tonight. If you're here tonight, really, the invitation is to you. If you're saved, why don't we get real with God? Why don't you come and speak to Him tonight as Brother Bert sings?
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine. I surrender. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me.
Let's sing it together.
I surrender all.
Let's think about what we're singing.
I surrender.
That message tonight, my brother. It was good for us. Amen. I hope you did what God asked you to do. Amen. And got real with Him tonight. Amen. And we're going to face a brand new week, second week of school. Amen. Amen. We're heading into like a marathon of school this year. Amen. College students will be coming in. Some have already made their trip down, but be in prayer for them this week as they travel. And please don't forget to go by and tell Cole you'll be praying for him as he heads off to the Army. Amen. Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, I thank You for how You've given us a good beginning of our school year, Lord, and launching out, Lord. But tonight, just another reminder, Lord, we need to get real with You. Lord, I pray that You'd be with folks. Help us not to soon forget what we did tonight, what we spoke to You about. So many of our folks down, Lord, getting real with You tonight. I pray that You'd help them not only to take that just to the altar, but Lord, to keep that and to remember that this week as they continue on for You. I pray You'd be with Cole. Lord, help him now as he goes off. Be with him. Keep him safe, Lord. Be with our other men that are already serving, Lord. I pray You'd just be with our college students as they return back to college. I pray You'd be with them. Help the ones that have already gotten here, Lord, brand new students. Lord, I pray You'd bless them as they launch out for You and what You've called them to do. Be with those that still need to return. I pray You'd bless them. Help us now as our families go in their different directions, Lord. I pray You'd bless us. Watch over us. Bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.